We read God's holy word this morning in 1 Corinthians 15. We'll read the first 28 verses of the chapter. And this is the outstanding chapter in the Scriptures concerning the resurrection of the dead. And in the first part of this chapter, we read especially of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at His coming. Then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For He hath put all things under His feet. But when He saith all things are put under Him, it is manifest that He is accepted, which did put all things under Him. And when all things shall be subdued unto Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all." Thus far we read God's Word. On the basis of this passage of Scripture and many other passages of Scripture, we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 17. Lord's Day 17, that can be found on page 10 in the back of the Psalter. We're considering here the articles of the Apostles' Creed. And last time we considered Lord's Day 16, Jesus' death, His burial, and His descension into hell. And now the Catechism asks this in question 45, "What doth the resurrection of Christ profit us? First, by His resurrection He has overcome death, that He might make us partakers of that righteousness which He had purchased for us by His death. Secondly, we are also by His power raised up to a new life. And lastly, the resurrection of Christ is a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection." The question that is before us this morning is, what does it mean to believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? What does that mean for us to confess that He arose? It does mean that it's a historical fact that Jesus Christ arose from the dead. But our confession and our belief in Jesus' resurrection is much more than that. It's not just a confession of the historical reality of Jesus' resurrection on the third day. But this is a confession of great comfort for us. When we consider our sins, and when we consider death itself, day by day and week by week, we face the reality of our sin. And when we look at our sin and see how awful our sins are as they are committed against God and God only, then we may wonder, how can God love us? And sometimes we may even despair and think that God does not love us. We can be filled with guilt and shame for the sins that we have committed against Almighty God. And we can begin to think that there is no forgiveness for us. And we also face death, that awful reality of death. We know that there are others who go through death, and we're amazed sometimes at the confession that other children of God have made even as they face death. How they said, although they had some fear, they really were not afraid. They had the utmost confidence that when they died, their soul would go to heaven. Many of us have sat at the deathbeds of loved ones who have made such confessions. But then we put ourselves there. And we think, do I know that? Can I make such a confession? If I would die tomorrow or if I would die today, do I know that I'm going to heaven? And maybe some doubts come into our minds. And Satan, of course, is working on us to put doubts in our minds. And we wonder, is heaven for real? And is the resurrection for real? How do I know? And the Word of God to us this morning is, we know that there is forgiveness. We know that there is life everlasting because Jesus Christ arose from the dead. Do you believe that? Do you believe the historical fact that Jesus Christ arose from the dead? Well, believing that means we also believe then the benefits of Christ's resurrection for us. Then we believe that there is forgiveness and that we are righteous in the eyes of God. Then we believe too that when we die, our souls will go to heaven. And when Jesus Christ comes again, our dead bodies will be raised from the dead. Even though right now, you and I have not seen into heaven. But you see, that's what faith is. Faith clings to and embraces Jesus Christ and the work that He has done. And we have to remember that this morning. We are dealing here with a confession of our faith. This is following from what we considered in Lord's Day 7 some time ago. And Lord's Day 7 asked us, what is true faith? And true faith, remember, is a certain knowledge. It's a knowledge of all that God has revealed to us in His Word. Well, what has God revealed to us in His Word? That Jesus Christ died, and on the third day, He arose. But also, faith is a confidence. Confidence that everlasting righteousness and salvation are freely given of God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. There's the assurance of that salvation. And the assurance of that salvation is not based on anything that we do. And that is why there are doubts. Isn't that why? We look to ourselves. We look to our own weakness. We look to our own sin. we look at that great enemy of death. But God in His Word directs us to look at Jesus Christ and the victory that He has won in His death and resurrection. And that is the victory that we consider this morning, the victory of Christ's resurrection. And we do so remembering that this victory of Christ's resurrection is one of the fundamental truths of the gospel. That is evident from what we read this morning in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul speaks of the gospel that he preached and the gospel that he had received. In verse 3 we read that, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." The words of the Apostles' Creed have come right out of this. Here is our confession, as this was Paul's confession. And Paul says that this is the gospel. This is the good news. That's how he begins in verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." This is the gospel. Jesus died. He was buried. And He rose again. The resurrection is a necessary part of that gospel. That is evident not only from 1 Corinthians 15, but you find that throughout the New Testament. The four gospel accounts, each one gives an account of Jesus' resurrection from the dead and the events surrounding that resurrection. In the book of Acts, when the apostles preach, when they preach there in Jerusalem, when they go out on mission journeys and preach, what do they preach? Well, yes, that Jesus died, but also that He arose. Those two things always went together. You see that time after time in the book of Acts. You find that truth here in 1 Corinthians 15 as well, and emphasizing that if there is no resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, then our faith is in vain. So this morning, we consider this blessed truth of the gospel. Here is good news to us this morning. Jesus Christ arose from the dead. He who died arose again, victorious over death. We consider them this morning, believing the victory of Christ's resurrection. Look first at the fact that this is a victory over death. Secondly, that it's a necessity for our salvation. And finally, that it's a sure pledge of our resurrection. This morning, our confession is, we believe that the dead body of Jesus Christ came to life again. That's the wonder of the resurrection. The dead body of Jesus Christ came to life again. That body which was buried by Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, that same body on the third day arose. It was changed, we know, but it arose. We rejoice with that good news on that first Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Jesus Christ is risen indeed. Now you may think this morning, do we really need to hear that and to know that? Can't I assume that this morning as I preach on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? And I suppose in this gathering, we could. We know what the resurrection is. The idea of resurrection is that a dead body is raised to life. And yet, we must consider that very carefully this morning because the attacks continue on the truth of Christ's resurrection from the dead. In fact, the attacks on the resurrection of Jesus Christ are as old as the resurrection itself. For when Jesus arose, remember that the leaders of the Jews bribed those soldiers guarding the tomb to say that Jesus' disciples stole the body while they slept. By the way, that was an awful admission. That's why they had to pay top dollar for these men to say such a lie. That was an awful admission on their part to say that they were sleeping on the job and the disciples were able to roll that great stone away, sneak into the grave, and take Jesus' body out, and they never knew it. That's the horror of that lie. But we see in that an attack of Satan and an attack of the world upon the reality of Jesus' resurrection. We know as well that in the early church, this truth was under attack. Paul is addressing that in 1 Corinthians 15. In the church in Corinth, there were those who were saying that there was and would be no resurrection from the dead. And Paul points out, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then that is a denial of Jesus' resurrection. And then your faith is in vain. Paul's saying, if you say there is no resurrection from the dead, then Jesus is not risen from the dead. And then Paul says, we lied to you. We didn't speak truth. But we have to understand that these attacks continue today. And in fact, in many places are prevalent in the church world and are growing in the church world. The skeptics today say that there is no scientific proof that a dead body can be raised to life again. That one who is first dead will then again have life. And so there are certain skeptics then in the church who say that the way to explain the resurrection is that it's, first of all, myth, but also it's symbolical. So that the idea is that the resurrection is not a raising of a dead body to life. But the idea of the resurrection is that the legacy of a man lives on. So the legacy of Jesus has lived on. It's lived on here in the Bible. And it's lived on in the followers of Jesus. And that's what it means that Jesus was raised from the dead. But we recognize then that this is no different than saying that the legacy of another man has lived on. The legacy maybe of Herman Hoeksema has lived on, so in that sense he's been raised from the dead. Or the legacy of another great man in the world, even though he's dead, has lived on, so he's been raised from the dead. That's how they explain the resurrection. And that's not correct according to the Scriptures. But there's another error that's growing in the church today. There's the teaching in churches today, large churches today, that it is possible that the church may even find in a tomb the bones, the decaying bones of Jesus of Nazareth. And there have been claims that such remains have been found already. And they claim as well that they will be able to prove this with DNA evidence. And then the teaching in the church is this: strong faith is faith that allows for this to happen. Strong faith allows for the fact that things might change, that everything in the Bible is not quite accurate, that one day we may find evidence that Jesus had a human father, or that one day we may find evidence that Jesus' body is still buried. Beloved, this is being taught in churches today, and they're saying strong faith allows for this possibility and questions everything that is found in the Word of God. They say then as well that the resurrection, the historical reality, is not necessary for faith. What's important is living in this mystical reality of God. But that's not the teaching of the Word of God. This morning, in the light of all of those errors, we must hear what 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14 is saying. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. If we do not believe that Jesus arose from the dead, as the Scriptures say, that's what Paul says, as the Scriptures say, according to the Scriptures, according to the evidence that we have, of his appearances and of the testimony of the angels at the tomb. If we don't hear that testimony and believe it, our faith is in vain. The Scriptures make that point clear. And then, beloved, I think I've said it before, but I'll say it again. What that means then is that I could very well just send you home this morning and say it's all finished. Close the doors of the church. It's no longer important or necessary for us to meet and worship. Live your life to the fullest. If Jesus Christ is not risen from the dead, then you will not be raised. Then all that there is this life. And that's all that counts. Then our faith is in vain. It means nothing. It's empty. But this morning, we acknowledge and we remember that our faith is not vain, because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And we believe that. We believe that not because we've seen that resurrection with our own eyes. We believe it because the Word of God says so. There does not have to be scientific explanation for us. All we need to know is what the Word of God says. And faith believes the Word of God. Remember, faith is a certain knowledge that takes for truth all that the Word of God says. So these are the two things that we believe concerning Jesus' resurrection. First of all, we believe the simple fact that Jesus arose again from the dead. Just as He actually died, so He actually arose. His body was placed in the tomb belonging to Joseph of Arimathea, wherein never was man before laid. His body was embalmed according to the custom of the day. And on the third day, His body was no longer in that grave because He arose. That dead body was alive and continues alive. That's the testimony of the angels. That's the testimony as well of the appearances of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul points out in 1 Corinthians 15. That He appeared to Peter. Then He appeared to the 12. Then He was seen of more than 500 brethren at once. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And then Paul says, and last of all, to me, I have seen the risen Lord. Believe that He is risen from the dead. I have seen Him with my own eyes. That's what made Paul an apostle of Jesus Christ. That's the requirement of an apostle, that he has seen Christ and been taught by Christ. That was true of Paul. So that, first of all, he's risen because the Word of God says so. Secondly, we believe that this resurrection was unique. It was unique in this sense. It was different from others whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Jesus had raised from the dead in His earthly ministry. But those whom Jesus raised from the dead were raised again to live here on this earth. And they died again. That was not true of Jesus. He was not raised to die again. But He was raised to ascend into heaven and to live at the right hand of God. And it was unique, a unique resurrection because His body was different. It was the same body that was placed in the grave that arose, but that body was changed. And we see the evidence of that in God's Word. He would appear in a place and then He would disappear. That shows that His body was changed. It was a body that was victorious. It was a body that was glorified. It was a body that was being prepared and fitted for heavenly life. This is what we believe of Jesus' resurrection. But we also believe that Jesus' resurrection was a victory over death for us. That's what the Catechism says. By His resurrection, He overcame death for us. In Jesus' resurrection, we have an amazing display of the power of God. We believe this resurrection, yes, because the Word of God says so, but also because we know that the power of God is able to accomplish such a resurrection. When we look at death and the great power of that enemy and understand that there is no way for us to escape earthly death, knowing that death is an enemy and knowing that death is the consequence of sin, we fear that enemy. There is great fear of that enemy. And we of ourselves would wonder, how can it be that there's life after death? Because we don't understand what it is for our souls to live apart from our bodies. That's beyond our comprehension. How can we believe that there is a resurrection? Well, we believe it because of the great power of God. And that power of God was on display in Jesus' resurrection from the dead. When we read of the resurrection in Scripture, sometimes it says that Jesus Christ arose. He was active. He arose. At other times it says that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. There's no contradiction in these passages, but it's a declaration that the triune God showed His great power in the victory of the resurrection. And the point is this: there is only one who is able to conquer death. And there is only one who is able to conquer sin. And that one is God Himself. That's what we see and know in the resurrection. There is only one who is able to conquer that death. And so that a man is raised from the dead, and that one is God. Man cannot overcome sin and death at all on his own. So believing the resurrection means believing that God could do this and that He did this. And that resurrection of Jesus Christ stands out as one of the mighty deeds and wonders that God has performed. You see that in contrast to creation. We look at creation and we're amazed at the creation, aren't we? We're amazed at how the creation runs and works all under the sovereign hand of God. Not on its own, under the sovereign hand of God, under the sovereign rule of God. God has created all things. He spoke and it was done. And by that same word of power, He rules the creation. There is great power. Especially you see that in that work of creation. On six successive days, God spoke and by the word of His power created the heavens and the earth and all that they contain. But we see a greater power of God in the resurrection. Because in the resurrection, He brought life out of death. The Son of God entered into our death when He took upon Himself our human nature from Mary. He took upon Himself the punishment for sin that we deserve. He met that great enemy of ours, sin and death, in the 3 hours of darkness on the cross. And after going through that death, He arose. What great power! Life out of death. But now, we understand this morning that that power of God manifest in Jesus Christ is for us. It's for us. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 says. 1 Corinthians verses 15, 21 and 22. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. It's pointing out, first of all, there that by nature we belong to Adam. Adam is our head. And what that means for us is that death has come to us from Adam. We deserve to die because of Adam's sin. But also that power of death has come to us all the way down, from fathers to their sons, all the way back to Adam. It's pointing out here that Adam is our head. and especially that He's our legal head then, that we're guilty and deserving of God's wrath against sin because of that. But Christ, He is our legal head by grace. How do you believe that? That Christ is your head? What that means is, when Christ died, we died. When Christ rose, we rose. We have resurrection in Him. We have the confidence then this morning as those who confess the resurrection of Jesus Christ that our Lord overcame death and merited eternal life for us. He opened up the way for us to pass from this life into heavenly glory because He has conquered death for us. That's the confidence of all those who believe in Jesus Christ, of all those who believe in the reality of His death and resurrection. We don't believe just that it happened. We believe that this is the basis of our salvation. He did it for us. Believing that, we believe also the blessings of that resurrection of Jesus Christ for us. And that's what's set forth in Lord's Day 17 this morning. The profit of Jesus' resurrection for us. And we see then, first of all, that that resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is a necessity for our salvation. Even presently, we see and know that. The question that we face this morning then is, what difference does the resurrection make for us? Why is it so vital that we know this? Why is this resurrection of Jesus Christ so important to the cross so that whenever the apostles preached of Christ's death, they also preached His resurrection? Why do those two go together? We face that question because unbelief may sneer at the resurrection of Jesus Christ because after the resurrection, it seems that everything on this earth has really remained the same. What has changed, they might say, in the world after the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Now, even our flesh may question this. What difference does the work of Jesus Christ make? We look at our own lives, and there's still so much suffering. There's still death. There are awful diseases, and in fact, it may seem that diseases are on the increase and worse today. There's still sin, and we are still awful sinners. Sometimes in our pride we maybe don't see that and don't think that, but the reality is there is still so much sin in our lives. What has changed after the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? We're still warring. We're still battling. Everyday life is a constant struggle for many of us. There's still so much misery. Has anything really changed? Well, the Word of God declares to us that there is great blessing for us in the resurrection of the dead. So much so that what Paul says is true in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. If Jesus is not raised from the dead, your faith, my faith, is in vain. Jesus' resurrection is related to the truth of the forgiveness of sins and ultimately to our justification. What's justification? Well, it's God's declaring us righteous. It's God saying that He sees us as those who are white as snow. He sees us just as if we had never sinned. Beloved, we know that righteousness is our great need. That's true because God hates the unrighteous and He loves the righteous. And righteousness is something that we do not have of ourselves. We, of ourselves, are unrighteous. And for us then to have life with God, we need to be righteous before God. Righteousness is simply this. It's to be right according to the law of God. So the question is, how can I be right before God according to the law of God? It's only through Jesus Christ. The basis for our righteousness is the perfect work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. There on the cross, He atoned for our sins. He did that as our substitute, as the one who is there, as our legal head, our legal substitute, as the one to whom our guilt and the punishment for our sin was imputed. And we know as well that His righteousness, His perfect righteousness, His perfect obedience and His perfect sacrifice, that perfect righteousness is imputed to us. That is what makes us righteous before God. But the question is, what does Jesus' resurrection have to do with that? Well, we know that the two are related because of what we read in Romans 4, verse 25. Romans 4, verse 25, where we read, "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." There, it says that the resurrection of Christ is important, in fact necessary, for our justification. How is that true? Well, remember that when Jesus finished His work on the cross, what did He say? Well, children, you even know that, right? He said, "It is finished." And Jesus was saying, "I finished the work that God gave me to do. I finished the work of paying for the sins of my people." Again, what does the resurrection have to do with that? Well, the resurrection is God's saying, "It is finished." It's the declaration of God upon the work of Jesus Christ that He finished the work that He was given to do. And that's true because the resurrection is the beginning of Jesus' glorification. And glorification for Jesus Christ, our head, would only come in the way of making perfect satisfaction for our sins. We can put it this way: if Jesus had not satisfied even for one sin, if He had failed to make satisfaction for one sin, He would not be raised from the dead because His work was not finished. The resurrection was God saying, "Jesus finished the work that I sent Him to do." Now, that's a beautiful declaration for us. It's God saying then, "Jesus Christ has paid for your sins." Do you hear that? Jesus Christ has paid fully for your sins. You are righteous in His sight because Christ has finished the work that God has given Him to do. That's the beauty of the resurrection for us now. Believing the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead means believing that we are righteous before God for His sake. When you despair of your sins, when you experience the heaviness of the guilt and shame of your sins, remember the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you experience that shame and guilt and that you deserve punishment and you think, "God cannot love me," don't just look at your sin, but with true repentance, look to the cross and the resurrection. Do you believe that Jesus Christ not only arose from the dead, but that He arose from the dead for you? Then you know that you are righteous and your sins are forgiven. This resurrection of Jesus Christ is also necessary for our salvation because it is the power unto life for us. That's brought out in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, "And you hath He quickened," that means made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." And verses 5 and 6 along with it, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." You'll remember, young people in the Essentials class, we asked this question in class. Is the resurrection of the dead something only for the future? Or is it something that you have now? Consider that a couple of weeks ago. And the answer is, it's something that's begun in us now. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has implications for life now. And that is true because we are quickened, we are made alive with Christ. You see, spiritually, we are dead. And that means, spiritually, we can only sin. We are born dead in trespasses and sins. There's absolutely no life in us of ourselves. There is no ability to do anything good. There's not even a hint of life in us. We're dead. We're enslaved to sin, is another way to put it. We can only do sin. And by the way, this accounts for sin that continues in our own lives. We still have these sinful natures. There is still so much sin in us, and sin is powerful and can be powerful in our lives. So that it's not just that we commit a sin here and we commit a sin there. But the idea certainly is that we can commit a sin over and over and over and over again, day after day, walking in the same sin as we become under the power of a certain sin. But we have to know this. As we battle against sin, we do so not in our own strength, but in that new life that Jesus Christ has given to us. Believing the resurrection of Jesus Christ means believing that as He rose again for us, that His life lives in us. It's not I that live, but Christ that lives in me, Paul says in Galatians 2, verse 20. And what that means is not that all sin has been taken away, but what that means is that the power of sin has been broken in me. What that means is that there's a battle going on in me. I no longer just live in sin willingly and consciously each and every day, but I'm battling against sin. I hate sin. I repent of sin and I'm sorry for sin. And I seek to flee from that sin. Why? Because of the life of Jesus Christ in me. Jesus Christ, who was raised for us, has given to us His life. And we experience that. We cling to Him for forgiveness. We rely upon Him for strength to fight against sin in our lives. You see, that old nature doesn't improve with age. And let's not think that. It's not going to improve for our children as they get older. That old nature is not going to be less aggressive in trying to get you to walk in ways of sin. We have to understand that the power to turn from sin and to live in obedience to God is the power of the new life of Jesus Christ in us, which makes sin repulsive. Is sin repulsive to you? Do you hate it and flee from it? That is only because of the new life of Jesus Christ, Christ's resurrection life in us. Believing the resurrection of Jesus Christ means believing that powerful work of Christ, and that there is the power and the ability to overcome sin in our lives because of Him and His perfect work. But also, this resurrection of Jesus Christ is a sure pledge of our resurrection. This is the comfort that we have as we face death. And what sorrow there is if we face death without knowing the comfort of Jesus' death and His resurrection from the dead. I remember quite a few years ago that there was a neighbor of mine where I grew up. And I would play with that young man when I was a child at times. But his parents and he were unbelievers. And I was not around to go to the funeral home, but I can remember my parents saying that when they went to the funeral home and tried to speak of the hope of the resurrection and the wonder of the gospel and the comfort that gives, that neighbor made very clear that he had absolutely no comfort of heavenly life because of the work of Jesus Christ. I remember that same neighbor coming through the line when my own mother died, and when I spoke of the hope of the resurrection and of the victory of Jesus Christ, he had nothing to say and couldn't wait to move on in the line. That shows how awful it is to die without that hope of the resurrection and of that victory of Jesus Christ. There is no hope. Oh, people in the world today talk about their loved ones being relieved of their suffering and their loved ones being in a better place, but they don't speak of Jesus Christ. What do they speak of? Well, he lived a good life. She lived a good life. He did this and that, and she did this and that as well. And certainly deep down, they must know they have no comfort of everlasting life. That's the horrible prospect of death apart from the knowledge that Jesus Christ arose from the dead for that one. Death is horrible apart from Christ. Because what that means is death is the entrance into hell. Death is then the judgment of God on that one. But for those who know Jesus Christ, because they're united to Him by a true and living faith, there is hope in the sorrows of death. The reality is we will die unless there are some of us alive at the second coming of Jesus Christ. And if there are, it will only be a few. The reality is that we die. And there is pain and suffering in this life. We know that as we've seen others die. We've seen that pain and suffering. And there may be that pain and suffering for us. Oh, for some, they're instantly taken by a heart attack. But for others, there's weeks, months, years of horrible suffering. But let's remember, even in that suffering, but that's under the control of God, and we don't go through that suffering alone. That's what Psalm 23, verse 4 says. Children, you know that too. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. There's no fear because Jehovah's with us. There's no fear because Jesus Christ is with us, and He's gone before. He's gone through that death. And He's conquered it. And He's won the victory. And so that's the comfort that we face when we go through death ourselves. Or when we see a loved one die. Or a child die. Jehovah God says, I have not forgotten you. I have not forgotten you. When all is said and done, I am preparing a place for you. And I will take you to be with me. Believing the resurrection of Jesus Christ for us means believing that when we die, we will go to heaven. We have this assurance because Jesus Christ has done this. He's gone from this life, He's gone from death to resurrection life. Do you believe that? Then don't focus on the enemy of death. By faith, focus on the victory of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is not risen from the dead, all hope is gone. Then there is no hope in death. But He has. That's the word to us this morning. Jesus Christ arose. And so He says, your sins are forgiven. You're righteous in God's eyes. I've given to you life. Life that begins now with regeneration. And life that will continue for all eternity. Life without sin. Life without tears, life without sorrows, perfect life of praising God forever. That glorious life. in Him and with Him. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the knowledge of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. May that truth live in our hearts. May it give to us hope. Hope in the knowledge of our sin. Hope in the reality of death. Hope that we have everlasting life with Thee. O Father, comfort our souls with this victory that Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. We ask, Father, that Thou will work mightily in us, that we might fight against sin. And where we see that sin in our lives, and there is much of it, that we would have the hope of the victory of Christ for us on the cross and in His resurrection. Father, forgive the sins we've committed here even this morning. Watch over us in this day and bring us back here safely tonight, that we might again worship and be fed by the preaching of Thy Word. All this we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.